do me a favor, set your cell phone to something like ring. My cell phone goes off. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a phone. Ring. Some people get a little wacky with the cell phone rings. You're being in a meeting, a boardroom or something, some guy's phone goes off. Then they look at you and go, is that yours or mine? You know that's yours, dummy. You stayed up till 4 a.m. figuring out how to make it play that song. The more annoying the song, the longer it takes them to find their phone. You're waiting for a bus, the guy next to you, you're halfway through the guitar solo of Freebird. You're like, will you answer that before I stab you with this pen?
WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us. Oh, I'm so excited. We have the new schedule for the Racine Theater Guild. It was just announced yesterday, and this is the first broadcast ever, right?
Yes, a first official.
This is it, folks. The new season's coming up. They still have this season's still mm-hmm. coming. You got Stargirl after now and then, and you got Cabaret coming up.
Yes.
The big
yes,
musical.
Yes.
All right, I got it on my phone here. I saved the big announcement here. Jocelyn Fish is here. She's director of marketing for the Racine Theater Guild. Any other titles you got there?
And development. So I do the fundraising side of things too.
Okay, so development.
Very important.
And if there is garbage on the floor, you can pick it up.
It's funny you say that because I actually did get some gum out of the carpet.
See? Everybody's got to work. Everybody works. Okay, so this is the brand new season. What's 87?
87th season. We were founded in 1938. So kind of crazy to think about.
Do you know the first show you guys ever put on?
They did a series of small one acts. One of them I know was called The Red Pajamas. The rest I can't remember off the top of my head. But
because you weren't there.
I was not. That was quite a bit before my time.
Okay, so this is, it kicks off July 19th, the new season. Why do you kick it off in the summer, not the fall?
So part of that is that summer, quote unquote, at the Theater Guild is kind of our downtime, but not really. We have classes going on at all times. One of the challenges we have in the summer is that people have lives and they're going on vacation and things like that. So we usually put a bonus show. This is what this is called. It's kind of like the pre-season show. Sometimes it's larger. Like this last year we did Rent. We've done Grease.
Oh, Rent was so good. I took my brother and sister-in-law to see
yeah,
it. I loved it.
Lots of fun. And brought in a lot of new people, which is, you know, when we were talking about the season, we always talk about who comes to the theater, but who else can we also get into the door of the theater? It's a dual conversation that we have at all times. And so Rent was a great example of one of those shows that kind of served both audiences in that way. And so looking forward to this season, we were like, you know, we've done some smaller musicals too. And so what we're opening with is actually a musical called...
Before you get to that musical... I got to tell you, one of the best shows, and I've seen the movie a million times. I knew the ending. I knew everything. But I was still on the edge of my seat watching Dial M for Murder.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I've seen the Alfred Hitchcock movie with Robert Cummings and Ray Milland a million times and Grace Kelly. But I was still sitting on the edge of my seat. And I knew who the murderer was.
Right.
I knew it was going to be the key under the carpet in the hallway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know all that stuff. But the way it was put together, we thought, and all the actors were great, but we thought the guy who played the lead role, the Ray Milland role, and the guy who played the police officer, the John Williams role, just standouts.
Yeah.
And they were all good.
Right. And the wonderful thing is everyone's a volunteer, and so they do it because they're passionate about it.
And they were good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's wonderful when they when everyone works as a team as well and builds off of each other. And then they've got the crew, like in a show like that, the crew is essential with lighting and with moving props in the certain place where it's supposed to be if the key's not there.
Yeah, the key's got to be right. In the hallway under the carpet.
Right, yeah.
Okay, let's kick it off with July 9th through July 28th, and the show is?
It's First Date, which is a very cute little musical. It's about a young couple getting together for a first date, and they're kind of opposites, might attract, might not attract. It's all of those ins and outs of the things that you're supposed to talk about and not talk about on a first date. And it's it actually was on Broadway, I think 2013, I want to say, and had Zachary Levi and Kristen Rodriguez. And so it's going to be a fun little summer show, and really kind of everyone can relate to that moment of your first date.
Do you remember your first date?
Oh, goodness, sadly.
See, the thing is, the pressure wasn't on you. It's always on the guy.
Yeah.
I was in high school with Barbara Kirshner, and I didn't think she'd say yes. So I really didn't have much planned. I said, do you want to go, you know, to the movies Saturday night? She goes, what movie? I don't know. Whatever's playing. This is when before multiplexes.
Sure.
You had to stay at whatever the theater was showing. That was, you were stuck with it. I can't remember the name of the movie, but she went. I think five were the amount of words she spoke all night. It just, she didn't say much to me. We never spoke again after that. We went to the movies, and I think my mother took us and dropped us off.
Oh, sure.
And picked us up. And that was my first date, and it was a disaster. Yeah. Enough that I remembered it, though.
Right.
But you always remember the bad times.
Yeah. Sometimes those make better stories for radio, especially.
And I kept thinking during the whole movie, what am I going to say? Is she going to talk? Do I talk to her? What do I say? I really had nothing in common with her. Other than she was a very pretty girl in school, very quiet. And I look at her in the high school yearbook today, and I wonder what, you know, where she is today.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's saying, I went on this first date, this loser. I mean, this guy picked me up. My skin was crawling the whole time. I just wanted to get rid of him. So that was the first date. Now, is this a musical?
It is a musical, yes. A small musical. We're actually hoping to have a live band on stage as well, will be nice because it takes place in a bar. And so, we don't always have live music because it's a little more complicated in our space. But when we can have a small group of live musicians, it just adds so much to the production.
I know sometimes you stick them in the back,
you
know, out of the way. Greg Berg does some of the music.
He does some of it. I believe we're working with Doug Klum, actually, during this one. Yeah.
Yes.
Also a great guy.
When Doug Klum, and the reason I know the name is because I host the Racine Concert Band at the Zoo, and he's there. And Klum, he is related to the Wild West. There was a newspaper editor named Klum back in the days of Dodge City, with Wyatt Earp. And he's related to that Klum who ran that newspaper during the days of Wyatt Earp.
There you go.
Yeah. That's how I said, wow, are you related? Oh, that's great.
Glad.
All right, so that's a musical, and that's coming up. Now, is that a bonus show?
Yes, we call that a bonus show. So we have kind of our five main stage plays is what we call them, and then we have three bonus shows you can add to your subscription in the scheme of things.
And when I buy my season tickets, it says, hey, do you want the bonus shows? Get all one.
Right.
Every time the theater opens, give me the tickets for the show, because we go all the time. You know, we used to bring my mom all the time. And so we have the same three seats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my mom passed away several years ago, but we still get those three seats. I don't want to give it up.
Right.
So now we use it. We bring a guest with us. And there's a seat empty right in front of that one. So if we have four people, I just I get that seat. And I can't give up that third seat.
No.
It's just, it was my mother's seat. You know, twice we had to get the ambulance in there.
Oh, gosh.
Right before intermission, she passed out. And one time, I say to my wife, I said, Mom, my mother's passed out. And I'm screaming, Mom, you wait till intermission.
Right.
Wait till intermission.
Oh, God.
So we got and as soon as the ambulance came, they used to, you know, slap her in the face. She popped out. Yeah, what's the matter? She just passed out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so first date is July 19th through the 28th. Then comes a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of the things. I've seen the movie a million times, but I'm sure I'm going to be on the edge of my seat watching it on stage.
Definitely.
And it's going to be?
It is Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express.
September 13th through the 29th.
Yes.
What a great fall night. That's good. The wind is going to be blowing outside.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a murderer loose on the train.
Mm-hmm.
On the Orient Express.
A whole cast of characters, which is always fun with these kind of murder mysteries.
There's always a cast of character in Agatha. And everybody's got a motive. Everybody could have done it, but only one person did.
Correct. And the misdirection is super fun. And this is actually a Ken Ludwig adaptation. And so Ken Ludwig is kind of known for more farcical shows. And so this one's a little more of a fast-paced whodunit. It does have that murder mystery, but there is some of that slamming doors kind of craziness to it as well.
Is it Poirot? How do you say his name? Poirot.
Poirot, right?
Not Hercules, though. It's spelled Hercules, but it's Hercule Poirot.
Yes, there you go.
We've seen all the Agatha Christie movies. Mm-hmm. And we love watching them, and just they're great.
And it's going to be a set challenge, but exciting challenge, because it's different train cars. So how do you go to the dining car and then to another car?
You know how you do it? You flip the set around.
Yeah.
You know, and that one stage, how many floor coverings have you had on that stage?
Oh, gosh. We hand paint that stage for every show, and then we build up on it and drill a bunch of holes in it.
Do you ever sand it down and get rid of the layers of paint?
We might have to soon. The building's coming up on almost 50 years old, and you got to think of how much.
Every time we go in, there's a different floor, and it's got to be the same floor. All right, so it's Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after the break, we're going to talk about the next musical coming up. Our next show coming up, it's a play. It's one of my wife's favorites. She's seen, there's been about five versions
of
it.
There's been a bajillion versions, it feels like.
And they're still making versions of it. They had one with Winona Ryder not too long ago. And we'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yes.
You know, I was telling Jocelyn before we got on the air that I've been to a million Broadway musicals and stuff growing up in New York. And I think you guys do just as good a job. I mean, these are Broadway quality people. And let me tell you something. Go to a Broadway musical. They're good.
Yes.
But they're not always that good. Mm. I mean, they're good. And want to hear my Ken Howard story? Ken Howard starred in 1776 on Broadway with the original Broadway cast. But at this time, he was starring in something else. And my parents were going to a show. Not his show, but they were going to a show. And they were at a bar before the show starts, getting a drink. And my father's eating these rolls that were on the bar. And Ken Howard sits down. And my father said, "Were these yours?" "Well, yes, part of my dinner, but that's okay. Don't worry." And my father said, "No, let me get you more." He goes, "No, I'm late for the show." And I said, "I ate your dinner. I'm so sorry. I'm nibbling on your dinner." And Ken Howard said, "Trust me, I can't stay anyway. Enjoy the rolls. Yeah. You and your wife have a good time with the rolls." My father's eating Ken Howard's dinner. I figured what show he was doing on Broadway at the time.
Yeah.
All right, Jocelyn Fish is here from the Racine Theater Guild talking about their new lineup. We'll continue with that lineup in just a moment. 7:18 at WRJN, a gradual clearing today with a high near 46. Partly cloudy, lows 35 tonight. Cloudy with a high near 46 tomorrow. 39 and cloudy right now in Racine. At Hometown Radio Refresh, the Civic Media Station, WRJN. Skating across the floor in my underwear to this song. 7:21 at WRJN Radio. Jocelyn Fish is here from the Racine Theater Guild. We're talking about their new lineup. Next play up is one of my wife's favorite. She's seen every movie adaptation of it. They've had him with Katharine Hepburn. They had one before Katharine Hepburn's. I forget what it was. And I think the most recent one, Winona Ryder, was in a version of it. Little Women. Louisa May Alcott.
Yes.
Little Women.
A great story about sisterhood, about family. I personally, I will say that this is one of my favorite stories as well, because I actually have three sisters. And so it was always interesting growing up to get to know the Little Women. And this is a really great play adaptation. It actually was just at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, this version. And it's the four sisters and how they kind of navigate through life. And Jo, of course, is our storyteller, and how she finds challenge in being a woman in society in that day and you know, and what her opportunities were. And it's just, everyone can connect with it in different ways.
Not me. I did watch them because my wife watched them. And I did watch them. And they're good movies. Mm-hmm. I like the one with June Allison. Mm. That was a good version of the show. They're all good.
Yeah.
But that's the one I've probably seen the most on Turner Classic Movies. They run. They run. Sometimes they'll run two or three back to back.
Oh,
on
sure.
TCM, running all the versions of it, which is good. Little Women, that's the big Halloween show, October 25th through November 10th. Then we've got one coming up. It's a musical.
Yes.
For Christmas. It's December 13th through the 22nd. It's called?
The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, now, the Musical.
Just in case you weren't sure, we got to put that in the title. Like Seussical, the musical. We got to put that in the title. So go tell us about
that. So Best Christmas Pageant Ever was actually a play, and it's one of the first outreach plays that the Theater Guild did in 1989, where we welcomed students in to see the show and have talkbacks after the production. So this is the musical version that has been adapted and has a bunch of great roles for kids, number one, which is wonderful because we always have a lot of interest for getting youth involved and growing their talent and things like that. And so it's about the six horrible herd and siblings and coming in and crashing Sunday school and ending up getting cast in the best in their Christmas pageant at church, and the town is kind of not very happy about it, but they kind of come to learn about the true meaning of Christmas by, you know, involving these kids and helping them grow and, you know, things like that.
Nice to have a Christmas musical at Christmas time.
Yeah, it is fun.
Put you in that mood. People there. Got to talk about something real quick before I forget. It's the people with their cell phones. We just ran a comedy bit about people with their cell phones. Just before every show, somebody comes out and says, turn off your cell phones, turn off your pagers, although I don't know if anybody's got pagers anymore, but you never know. Turn off all your cell phones. And there's always like one or two people that don't turn it off. And in the middle of the show, you hear the theme from The Godfather.
Yes.
And as this comedian said a few minutes ago, the worse the music is, the longer it takes for them to find it.
It does.
And everybody's looking around. And it's
always like in a poignant moment, too, or like, you know, some quiet.
The murderer is, and you hear some going on.
Yep.
It's got to be a pain in the neck for the actor. See,
it's very hard to keep your concentration when something like that happens and you're on stage, because especially in our space, when it's so intimate and you can see every single person from the stage and hear everything that goes on in the audience, it can be quite distracting.
Now, they never break the wall.
They do not.
But I've seen clips of it for people, actors on Broadway, when the phone rings, the actor will stop on stage and say, give me that cell phone.
Yeah.
And they'll do it in the actor's voice, you know, character's voice. Give me that cell phone now. I want that cell phone. And they'll take the cell phone away. They'll go into the audience and grab it.
Yeah.
And the audience loves it because, you know, everybody hates somebody's cell phone going. I just don't understand why people can't shut their cell phones off at the show. And it is annoying. And I don't know what it is, too, but every time, even in church, when you go to church or you go to a show where there's got to be quiet, it's like you're in a tuberculosis ward. Everybody's got a cough all of a sudden. They didn't have a cough leading up to the show.
Oh, gosh.
But is it like you're in some kind of tuberculosis ward and everybody's coughing? But they, I don't know why. They just feel like...
It's those stage lights. Those dry out a room like you wouldn't believe. That is one thing. It is very dry in our theater.
The people sitting in front of me, the two ladies sitting in front of us, have been sitting in front of us for years because we all have the same seats for season tickets. But the people behind us are different every time.
Mm-hmm.
And one time... I can hear the lady in front. Oh, here's what's going to happen. Now, she has no idea what's going to happen, but she's the new playwright, and she knows exactly. Here's what's going to happen. But she doesn't whisper it. Mm. She's talking in a regular voice.
Yeah.
So I give her the half turn, and then I give her the full turn with the look that goes with it.
Yeah.
Never shuts them up for some reason. There was one quick before we continue on the list here. They do the 50-50 raffle.
Mm-hmm.
I won it three times in a row once. And the fourth time I said to my wife, if I win this, people are going to start recognizing me as winning these things. That guy again?
Right.
And the fix is in. And we won it three times. And I said, I can't win it the fourth. I just can't. If it wins, we just won't take it. We'll just let the next person get it. But we haven't won it since.
Okay.
That was several years ago. But it was embarrassing, you know, to win it so many times. Okay, so the best Christmas pageant ever, the musical, is the big Christmas show. And then in January, we have another show.
Yes.
And it's called?
A fun family comedy. It is called Over the River and Through the Woods.
To Grandmother's House We Go.
To Grandmother's House We Go. And it's about a young man who goes and visits both sets of grandparents every Sunday for his big Italian dinner. And his grandparents, you know, talk in circles around him, feed him way too much food, all of those wonderful, loving things. But he's kind of exasperated with it and gets a job offer in Seattle and tries to move. And his grandparents come up with all kinds of shenanigans to keep him from moving to Seattle from
New Jersey.
Of course,
you have a space needle on stage like, to represent Seattle. Now, everybody says that's the only Thanksgiving song there is. Over the river and through the woods.
Sure.
Actually, Jingle Bells is a Thanksgiving song. It was written for Thanksgiving. There's no mention of Christmas in Jingle Bells. And it was written as a Thanksgiving song. Somehow it got morphed into a Christmas song, and that's the way they've taken it. Then coming up in February,
yes,
very interesting one. It's called, and in this corner, Cassius Clay, which is Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so it is interesting because a lot of people don't recognize that as his name, first and foremost. So marketing-wise, that will be very interesting, and education-wise of what the show will be about. But that's going to be our other outreach show in the February slot, welcoming local schools in to have talkbacks after the performance. And yeah, so it's about young Muhammad Ali's life growing up in Jim Crow era Kentucky and what he faced and his challenges. And we'll have actual boxing on stage too, which will be interesting. And the script is Cassius as the narrator, but also Cassius as a character. And sometimes when he's a narrator, he goes into his prose, because Muhammad Ali actually did do some spoken word albums.
I float like a butterfly, sting you like a bee. Yesterday, my guest was Randy Gordon. He was on here for an hour, an old friend of mine who was New York State Athletic Commissioner, New York State Boxing Commissioner.
Oh, wow.
He has a boxer he manages now. He was in the ring at one time. One time he got knocked out. But he wrote for Boxing Magazine. He was the boxing commentator for ESPN-TV. And he was the, he still is. He's on Sirius XM doing a boxing show every day.
Wow.
So, yeah, boxing. We talked about that yesterday. Yeah. And he's not a big guy. He's a little guy. But he's a big boxing fan. I got a Muhammad Ali story. Two of them coming up right after the break here. 729, Jocelyn Fish is here from Racine Theater Guild. We're talking about their brand new lineup coming up in just a few weeks from now. Says she knows all the words to this, right?
I do, pretty much.
Shag, baby. The B-52s. Strange group. 735 WRT, and I'm Don Rosen. We're talking about the new lineup at the Racine Theater Guild. The last show we just talked about was, and in this corner, Cassius Clay. A few Cassius Clay stories for you here. We talked, there was a movie called Requiem for a Heavyweight with Jackie Gleason, Mickey Rooney, and Anthony Quinn. Anthony Quinn played a punch-drunk fighter. And the movie opens up. As soon as the movie starts, he's fighting a boxer in the ring who's beating the tar out of him. And we don't know who it is because he's an unheard of before. But when he's going to the, when he's going to his locker room all beat up, there's a poster in the background. And we find out it was Cassius Clay before he was Muhammad Ali. It was 1962, 61 when they filmed it.
Wow.
And it's a real gritty show. It's really good. The other story, I had two other quick stories. When I went to Louisville, Kentucky to see the Ark, we had some time to kill. We went to the cemetery. Let's go to cemeteries. Find interesting people there. Buried at this cemetery was Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, a woman called Patty Smith Hill. You know who she is?
Yep.
She wrote Happy Birthday to You, her and her sister. And Muhammad Ali was buried there. Now, we were looking for a small gravesite because that's what he wanted, but his family decided, no. We're going to build him something huge. And they did. So we're at Muhammad Ali's gravesite. And the other thing is, my cousin, I told this story yesterday, when we had Randy Gordon here, he was a correspondent for Fox News, and he was in Washington, D.C. It was late at night, and he sees this man kind of walking like an old man, and he goes up to him, can I help you cross the street? It was Muhammad Ali.
Oh, wow.
He says, hey, champ, can I help you? And this is when Parkinson was kicking in. He was getting bad. He said, let me just take your arm. And he walked him across the street. Oh. He says, can I take you home? He goes, no, I'm good from here. And he saw the champ walk off into the night.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Could you imagine saying you walked the champ across the street?
Right.
So that's going to be a good show. And in this corner, Cassius Clay.
Yes. Yes, that's going to be one of our bonus shows as well, and it's going to be a fun challenge to stage that. There's actually, hoping to reach out, there's a boxing club here in Racine, and there's a boxing club in Kenosha, and maybe get a little guidance from them as well as how that all is going to choreograph.
You know, it's when he played, when he took on Sonny Liston for the World Championship, we had to go to our car to listen to the match. Now, I went in the box, I was a little tiny kid. But my father wanted to hear it because it was a big boxing match, Cassius Clay against Sonny Liston. And he had to go to our car to hear it on the radio because it wasn't on TV. They didn't have ESPN or any of those channels.
Right.
And they didn't do boxing anymore on TV. So we're listening to it. And I remember and he's bobbing and weaving. And it's right to left. We have a new world champion. Yeah. It's Cassius Clay. And he's going, I am the champ. Screaming and hollering and wow.
Cassius such an iconic Clay. Voice, too. I can hear it even without hearing it.
Champ. I'm the champ. Screaming. All right, that's February 21st through March 2nd. And then coming up, we have a play, March 28th. It's called?
Always a Bridesmaid. So this is actually a show that we announced in March of 2020. And then the world shut down.
That's right, COVID.
Yeah, it was going to be part of our 2021 season, and we announced our season 13 days before we closed for 635 days.
Was it really that long?
It was a long time. It was, from March of 2020 to December of 2021, we were closed.
I remember you offered people their money back, and I just said, keep it.
So this is a great little play because it's about a group of women who, during their senior prom, promised each other to be in each other's weddings. And it's a few different wedding series of everyone getting ready for which bride's going to walk down the aisle and ugly bridesmaids' dresses and all the drama that comes with a wedding and all of that.
And you know why they're ugly bridesmaids? Because the bride wants to look good. And the only way you look good is making everybody else look bad.
Yeah. So we're going to have a lot of fun, especially costuming this. I think it's going to be a hoot because we have some lovely dresses already. And I'm sure our costume area is going to have lots of fun adding all kinds of weird frilly beading or fringes or who knows what to this.
Did you go to your senior prom?
I did go to my senior prom. And actually, my high school did junior prom. We did our prom our junior year. We didn't do it senior year, but yes.
So when I went to my senior prom, I wanted to ask this girl, Susan Smith, to the prom. And she was gorgeous. She was in all my classes because she was in my homeroom and everything. And she was very sweet, very nice, always polite, always talking to me. There weren't too many girls that talked to me in school. And you think I look geeky now. What do you see me in high school? I look really bad. And so I didn't ask her because I said, well, every guy's going to ask her, and the chances of me getting with her is slim and none. So went to the senior prom with somebody else, very nice girl. And it turns out nobody asked her to the prom. Isn't that something? So cut to our 20th high school reunion. I see her there. And my then wife, my first wife, she went to school with me, and she sees me staring. She says, go talk to her. So I go over there, and there she is. And was it Susan Smith? It was Smith, but I don't know if it was Susan. I forgot now. Anyway, you know, we all had to wear little pictures of ourselves and name tags with our high school picture. And she squints. She says, hi, Donald. And I said, hi. And that was it. Turns out nobody asked her. She did go to the prom with her cousin because every guy thought
she was going to be asked. Oh gosh!
And so I was heartbroken. Now, sadly, I wanted to reconnect and just talk to her, and she died in a car crash several years later. But pretty sure it was Susan Smith. Smith was her last name. I was one of these people that, you know, followed her home and stalking before stalking was a crime. All right, so enough with my. hijinks from high school. So that is Always a Bridesmaid, and that's coming up March 28th. Then the big end of year musical. It doesn't get bigger than this. It played at the Palace Theater on Broadway.
It did.
It wasn't a musical when it came out originally with Reese Witherspoon. It was just a comedy. And then they, like they like to do, they add songs to it that don't really match up with anything going on in the show. And it was a smash hit musical on Broadway. And it's coming, and it's called
Legally Blonde.
We all remember that movie with Reese Witherspoon.
Yes.
And I forget what her character's name was on the show.
Elle Woods,
with her little puppy dog.
Yes.
Little pink puppy dog. And it's hard for you to get a big musical like that that's still playing places around the country.
Yeah, so the rights for this actually weren't available for a while because it was touring. So sometimes that happens where if a musical tour is going on, no matter where it is, we just can't get the rights to it. And so we've been looking at this for several seasons, actually, because it's quite popular for, a certain age range, but also a lot of people just find it so fun and bubbly. And the other thing is, I think that it's a great show to bring in people that might not be theater people because they know the movie. Sometimes these shows are a great open door for people that know the movie and are willing to try a musical. And then, again, you come into the door of the Theater Guild and you see what we put together and you're like, oh, I could come back to this for something else. You know, that's always the great thing about shows like this, I think.
You always know when you have a hit musical and get your money's worth when you leave the theater humming a tune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what they say on Broadway.
Yeah.
You leave the theater humming a tune, you got a hit. And Legally Blonde, I listen to the Broadway channel on my radio.
Yeah, sure.
And they always play music
from
Legally Blonde. It's such a great show.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it.
Yeah, very fun, poppy show. And of course, is, you know, Elle's trying to get back Warner after he dumps her and ends up breaking all kinds of stereotypes along the way and challenging society's expectations of her. So it's not only super fun, but a really nice, inspiring message, too.
Now, they did make a sequel called Legally Blonde, Red, White, and
Blue. Or something.
Now, I read a book, and it analyzed that movie, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and a few others, because they all opened up the same weekend.
Oh, my gosh, really?
It was 4th of July weekend. They all opened up the same time. There were four big hit movies. And not everyone was going to be a hit.
No.
And it turns out Terminator 2 was the big hit that weekend. But why would you open up on a weekend against Terminator 2 and like three other? It didn't make any sense.
Know.
But anyway, so this is the musical, Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
So here's the lineup again, in case you missed it. We've got First Date, a musical, opening up on July 19th. Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, September 13th. Little Women. This is the classic on October 25th. The best Christmas pageant ever, the musical. I like when you have to tell people, the musical. On December 13th, Over the River and Through the Woods, a play on January 10th. And in this corner, Cassius Clay. That's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a boxer type
guy? Yeah, so it's Cassius from about the age of 10 to like 18 or 20. So,
but you still got to have a guy with his physique.
Yeah, and is he potentially going to be two different characters? Or we might have two actors playing him.
Well, yeah, you got to, don't
potentially.
You? Yeah. And then you've got Always a Bridesmaid coming out on March 28th and the big musical Legally Blonde. On May 16th, tickets go on sale.
So season tickets and flex passes are on sale now. So like you said, season tickets are a great way to just come and see the show and have your seat set for every show throughout the season. And that saves you a lot of money off of the...
Yeah, but let me ask you, when do I get my thing in the mail?
You'll get your renewal probably in about 2 weeks here.
Okay,
and then you can say,
make sure.
Yeah.
So I get that.
And then individual tickets for First Date actually will go on sale Monday, May 20th. And then everything else for the season individual tickets will go on sale July 1st.
You know, since I have season tickets, I recognize a lot of the people when I go there.
Yeah, you know, it's cool to get to know people.
The two ladies in front, I don't know what their name is. For years, I've been sitting in front of these two ladies, and we talk every time.
Yeah.
And when my mother was there, oh, how are you?
Yeah.
Nobody knows each other's names, but we always talk when we see her. So they sit
It's funny, I was just talking to a couple last night who have been season ticket holders, they told me, for 50 years.
Whoa.
And isn't that just mind-boggling to wrap your head around? And they were just talking about how they might be changing their season tickets and how much they just enjoy coming back time and time again and just might change where they're located in the theater now that they've aged into seeing shows. So they might need a back-of-the-house seat.
Well, we saw the Broadway the spotlight show the other time.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We had to get different. We got different seats. I'll tell you something. After sitting for decades in front of those the same seats, when you change, it's a whole new experience.
It's a different perspective
because
yes.
you're sitting in a different part of the stage. And I said, "Wow." Broadway
Blockbusters.
Blockbusters. Yeah. That was so good.
I had to miss it because I got COVID, unfortunately. But I was really bummed because I especially because that was a really great ensemble group, you know, having those many voices on stage to bring lots
That's
of gotta classic
be horrible
songs.
When one of your cast members gets sick, especially if it's a lead member. Now, you always have backups.
Right, yeah. We've had to put in understudies in the last couple of years for a couple of our shows. And so now that the CDC has changed their quarantine guidelines for COVID, we're going to be discussing how we move forward with if people get sick. What does that look like for our shows?
Well, I remember a couple of times, and you have some of these pros there who can do it. They actually have the script and the book in their hand.
Right.
But after a while, you don't see them holding it anymore because they just hold it and they glance down if they get stuck. That's a pro.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't remember lines anyway. When I was in high school, I was in the drama club, but I wasn't. I tried acting once and I couldn't pull it off. I couldn't do it. And so I was the stage manager
for
3 years in high school. I couldn't do it. I don't know how people remember lines. I've been in radio for 52 years, and I still have to hold things in front of my face because I can't remember anything. I don't know how you remember lines on those shows. And you got to remember them because the next person's got to play off that line.
Right.
So you better say it right.
Yes.
And occasionally they screw it up. Yeah. But the audience doesn't know when they screw it up.
Live theater, nothing like it.
You know, it's one thing when you volunteer, but when you're getting paid a fortune on Broadway to be in a show, you better get it right. All right. Now, we still have some shows left for this season.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment here. As a matter of fact, one show is underway right now, Now and Then, which I'm going to see Saturday afternoon.
Great.
We go to the matinees now. When you get old, you go to matinees. Because you're afraid you're going to doze off. And we have a lot of good theaters. We got the one out in Port Atkinson is a great theater.
Fireside.
In the round. Yeah, Fireside. We're so lucky to have these theaters around. And you got Chicago right down the road.
And
you guys take trips down there with
you. We do every so often. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a while. I've been looking at what's coming up next season to figure out if we might schedule one again. And of course, we have Sixth Street Theater here in town, too.
Yeah,
so they're great friends of ours. And always wonderful to have people that support both of us.
All right, 749 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media Station. There we are. Jocelyn Fish is here from the Racine Theater Guild. We talked about their brand new season. You heard it first. And this season's not over yet. Now and Then is playing right now. And this is an unusual show because it's something where no one's telling the ending or what's going on in the show. You got to come to find out yourself.
You do. And that's been really intriguing to hear the audience response to it, especially of like, oh, I figured things out like very early on, or I had no idea until they said it on stage. And then what people kind of are taking away from it as well. It's one that kind of makes you have a discussion with the people in your car on the drive home or have a thought about what you might do with your life and things like that. So it's been a wonderful response, and it's a great intimate show. You know, it's four actors, which is a challenge because, like you said, you have to know your lines and you have to make sure that everyone's on top of it because, especially with four actors, you don't want anyone dropping anything.
Well, my wife and I, every night when we eat dinner in front of the TV, we watch the old Alfred Hitchcock Presents from 1956. And my wife and I, I'll tell you what the ending is. They're always great endings to the Alfred Hitchcock show.
Yeah.
And, I know the end. Yeah. Sometimes she's right, sometimes she's wrong. But yeah, we always try to guess. Oh, yeah. Because you know it's going to be a twist. Because if it was just regular, you know, they wouldn't put it on Alfred Hitchcock. So that's what I'm kind of hoping for, one of those type shows where.
Sure.
It's not a murder mystery, but at least you'll be guessing what's going on.
Yes. And so that so we actually have five more shows of that still. Thursday, Friday, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday. So plenty of opportunities for people to come see a great play.
And next, it's Stargirl. What's that about?
And then Stargirl. So Stargirl is based on the Jerry Spinelli novel, and it's about a young girl who comes to a high school, and she's very eccentric. She has her own personality. She has a pet rat, actually, and wears fun clothes. And it's high school, so the students aren't very accepting of that, and they want her to stick with the status quo and try to change her. And she tries to, you know, stay true to herself. So we've got a cast of five high schoolers and then a professor character as well. And so they've been rehearsing that. And Nate Stamper from Case High School, who runs the theater over there, he's actually directing that as well. So that will be great in April. And one of our outreach shows. So again, local schools will be coming as well to see it and have a talk back with the cast and crew and ask them questions and
And then wrapping up the season will be a really good Nazi musical. I don't have too many good Nazi musicals out there, but this one's good. Cabaret. The classic on Broadway.
Yes.
And it was Best Picture of the Year when Liza Minnelli filmed it. And so Cabaret's coming in on...
It opens in May. And Doug actually just had auditions this weekend. So that's always a hard challenge to... You have a lot of people that really want to do it. And how do you... choose the right person for the right role and this person for that role and dancing and singing. And this is the 1998 version of Cabaret. So we'll have Maybe This Time, and it will have, I think, the Money Song as well is an addition to that one. So it's going to be kind of a darkly delicious tale because there is wonderful music and there is a lot of razzle dazzle.
It's a dark story.
Yes. Yeah. And part of that razzle dazzle is to distract the characters and kind of distract the audience from the reality of the world that it takes place in at the same time. It's a really interesting juxtaposition.
Now, I got to interview Joel Grey years ago,
sure.
Back in the 80s. He had a movie coming out, Man on a String or something like that. I wanted to talk about Cabaret. He wanted to talk about the movie he's got coming. So when I said, well, you made the switch. Not many people do it from the Broadway, original Broadway cast to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how was that? It was good. It was good. Now, about the movie, I wanted to talk about Cabaret because he's one of the few people that actually flipped into the movie. He's the MC.
Right.
And he did such a great job. And he looked freaky.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, the hair slicked back and everything. Great, great songs in that Cabaret.
Yes, and songs that people don't probably realize they know because from that musical.
I know them all.
It's one of those that those songs have kind of lived outside the musical. Yeah. They have made it a little bit into the pop culture world.
Now you also have some other shows coming up, and in March 15th through the 17th. James and the Giant Peach.
Yes, so that's our final show of our children's theater series for this year. And so we typically recommend those shows for 4 and up. It's the story of James and his adventures in the Giant Peach with his insect friends who have big personalities, and there's some nice music in it, so it's a mini musical as well. $7 a ticket, so it's a wonderful way to introduce young people to theater.
And coming up, Comedy Tonight. I've been to a couple of the comedy shows. They're very funny. This is called Bible Bingo, an act of charity in two acts, Saturday, March 16th.
Yes, and so you will actually get to play bingo as part of the show. And Vicky Quaid is actually coming up from Chicago. She also does a show down there called Late Night Catechism. And so it's so much fun. It pokes great fun at, the traditional fundraisers of the church, but also it's just a hoot and holler of a night.
Jean's Jazz coming up.
Yes, Jean's Jazz as well. So we actually have on March 23rd, Affinity Trio coming down. Eric Jacobson is one of the featured artists in that. And a couple years ago, he did Miles Davis's Kind of Blue on our stage. And so people love Eric and a great group he's got March 23rd. And then actually in April will be our final Jean's Jazz concert of the series. And that's going to be Donna Woodall. And she is just a powerhouse singer. And you don't want to miss that. She's just... blow you away.
Okay, so let's quick review here. The new season's coming up beginning July 19th with the musical First Date, then Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, and September 13th, Little Women, the classic. October 25th, my wife, when I told her last night, she goes, ooh, because she loves Little Women. The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, the musical on December 13th, Over the River and Through the Woods on January 10th. And in this corner, Cassius Clay. I can't wait to see that. That should be interesting, the champ. February 21st, Always a Bridesmaid, the comedy on March 28th. Mm-hmm. And Legally Blonde, the Broadway blockbusting musical, will be coming in on May 16th.
Yes.
But in the meantime, you have Now and Then, Stargirl, and you have Cabaret.
Cabaret.
Coming in. Is it difficult to get, when people audition, what if you don't find the right people? I mean, that's got to be scary when you say, we don't have a lead. You know, what are we doing? You can't breathe. And so how does that work out?
So luckily, you know, we have an incredible, again, these volunteers that come in and give their time and their talents, not only on the performance side, but the acting side. We actually have people that come all the way from Northern Illinois out to Lake Geneva, up to North Milwaukee, that come and are part of our show. Obviously, a lot of people live here in Racine, too. And so shows like Cabaret, for instance, people have a bucket list that they call it, and they come out for shows like that.
And if you can't find a lead, you say, Doug Incidence, you're the MC in the show. You'll play the Joel Grey role. Start learning the lines. Yeah, start singing. Jocelyn Fish, Racine Theater Guild, one of my favorite theaters ever. I love when you guys come in and talk theater with us here.
Yeah, and thanks for having me this morning.
All right, thank you, Jocelyn. He'll be back. 7:58 WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. See you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early.